In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's no time for Christmas nostalgia, no time for resting. As the world begins to put away decorations and to return their gifts, we continue to sing and to receive God's gifts. As the world faces the reality that their so-called magical season has changed absolutely nothing in their life, we see that yesterday has changed everything. It allowed Stephen to die in peace, for Bethlehem's child now stands at the very right hand of God, ready to welcome his people into her gates. Because of Christmas, a dying man can pray for his enemies. Because of Christmas, a dying man is conformed to Christ himself, so that he might receive the glory that is Christ's. Christmas seems as distant from death as light is from darkness. After all, we celebrate a birth, not a death. But we must remember that he was born in Bethlehem, the place where the lambs were raised for a temple sacrifice. And he was laid in a manger. And the food that you eat in your houses are not living food, but food that has died. So he is born to die. This child must die. Death hangs over Christmas. It's the big elephant in the room. And that is why the angels sing. That is why the shepherds run. That is why we gather and celebrate. Christmas doesn't take away death, but it pulls death to the forefront of our minds. The reality of Christmas is that this baby of Bethlehem is born to die, so that he might save his people from their sins. And that is glorious. The shepherds yesterday saw the glory of God lying in a manger. Today, we see the glory of God shining in the face of Stephen. Yet we don't have a victim mentality, or woe is us. Rather, we have the mind of Christ, who willingly came to earth to redeem fallen man. He is beaten, he is flogged, he is crucified, not because the world hated him, but because he loved the world. He could have stayed their hand or simply walked through the crowd. He could have come to earth and immediately condemned all mankind, but his love would not let him. He is a Savior, a suffering and rejected, dying Savior who by his blood atones for the sins of the world, and by his death, delivers man from death. And to that suffering Savior, Stephen was conformed. And so his death runs in parallel with the death of Christ, even as his life ran parallel with Christ's. Stephen spoke with great wisdom and the power of the Spirit so that no one was able to stand against him, even as no one could refute our Lord. Stephen is arrested for preaching Jesus as the Christ. False witnesses were set up against him, who falsely said Stephen preached against the temple and against Moses, even as false witnesses accused our Lord, in the same court where our Lord once stood. And as the stones began to rain down on Stephen, his lips uttered the same words as Christ's, praying for forgiveness for his enemies, and that the Lord would receive his spirit. And then he fell asleep in Christ. Stephen's death is an example of every Christian death. For like Stephen, we too are being conformed to the image of Christ. Let us not be conformed to the image of this world, which is so quickly passing away. Let us be conformed to Christ, for in him we are predestined. You live in this world, but you are not of this world. And so much of your life looks very similar to the life that the world lives. Just take a look at Christmas. You set up trees and you decorate cookies, but you don't think for a second that this will change anything. You also have parties, and yet you don't think that that is why this season is good and enjoyable. Your mind is not of the world, but of Christ. And so your attitude, the reason why you do things, should be the same as Christ's, not like the world's. God is looking to conform you to himself. And he does this chiefly through his suffering, chiefly through your suffering. So as Christ suffered, so must you, for he lives in you and with you. He suffers with you and even dies with you to fill up what is lacking in his sufferings, all for the good of his church. And so the Lord works in the most unlikely of ways. Daily you die to sin. Through contrition and repentance, you die to sin and live for righteousness. You flee the pursuits of the world and walk in the ways of God. So although you may look similar in your outward actions, your heart is completely changed. You live for God and you live to serve others. We pray for our leaders and even ask for God's forgiveness for our enemies. We are diligent in the task that is set before us. Yes, the Lord could use someone else to do the same task, and they probably could do a better job than we could. But he has not chosen someone else. Right now, he has chosen you. It can be hard, and at times it can be a thankless job, but right now you are called to carry it out. So picking up your cross and following Christ is not simply the physical outward difficulties that we face, but it can just be as simple as carrying out a godly life when our own will and desires wants to refrain from it or to put it off for another day because it's not fun or enjoyable. So by dying to our wants and desires, we live for Christ. And yet the cross is also physical, and it culminates in death. Through physical death, God will transform us. Death was the curse of sin. On the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Adam and Eve ate, therefore they and their descendants died. Yet God remained loving and gracious. He promised to send a Savior. And yesterday that Savior was born. And yet still Christians die. Death hangs over our Christmas celebrations, whether we are here or at our houses, as we have gathered with people who are no longer present with us on the earth. Throughout the years, the people have changed. And you even see that the world recognizes this with the commercials that they have aired, where someone is baking something that their mom or grandma once made. And somehow, because they made it, it's supposed to make them feel like they are present. The world does not know how to handle death alongside Christmas. It's that big elephant in the room. And it will continue to hang over Christmas as we continue to gather with different people, whether it's us or others, until we finally die. We can't escape it, for the wages of sin is death. But what Christmas has changed is the way that Christians die. Stephen dies with the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, welcoming him into the gates of heaven. You probably will not stand before the courts of the Sanhedrin as he did. You probably will not be martyred for your faith as he was, by an angry mob. You will probably not be stoned. You probably will not utter the same phrases as Christ did and as Stephen did, and you probably will not have a face shining like that of an angel. And yet Bethlehem's divine Son still stands at God's right hand, ready to welcome you into heaven's gates. By his death, he saved you, and by your death, he transforms you so that you may be like him. He has turned death into life, sorrow to joy, tears to gladness, sickness to health, weakness to strength, and misery to happiness. So this is what death means for you. Death is not the end of anything, but it's the transformation to the glory of Christ, to seeing that glory with your own eyes. It is the chariot that whisks you away to heaven itself. It is the door with eternal blessings behind it. in death, all your prayers are finally answered. No more pain, no more suffering, no more stress, no more struggle, no more frailty, no more weakness, no more financial hardships or failing health. Because in death, God finally does what you have prayed him to do, delivered you from evil. So yes, we long to be at home with Christ. We understand this is better by far, but we are not there yet. We are still here. And so there still is work to be done. It may be to work at our tasks and to serve others. Or it may be to struggle and to be served by others. Either way, we are being conformed to Christ, just as Stephen was conformed to Christ. Who wouldn't call Stephen's death a great evil? Stephen, that's who. And who wouldn't call the death of your loved one ill-timed or too early? Your loved one, that's who. You miss them. But they don't want to come back here. They enjoy an eternal Christmas. They see the Bethlehem child with their own eyes. They touch his pierced hands. And they put their hands in his open side. They are now glorious like him, for his death has transformed them and their death has made it a reality. And so if there is any fear or sadness or worry about your transformation, know that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ. That the Son of Man right now stands at God's right hand, ready to bring you through those gates of heaven. There's nothing that he won't use for your good, no matter how painful it may be or how stressful it can make us. For in Christ we live, in Emmanuel we die, and he will be with us in this life and the next. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.